One day back in the summer of 1998, iconic Australian broadcast journalist Lee Hatcher lay down for a 10-minute afternoon nap, and 2 hours later he woke up feeling, in his own words, as if he'd been run over by a truck. It was the start of a devastating journey through the mysterious and painful condition known as chronic fatigue syndrome. Lee was imprisoned in a world of debilitating fatigue, pain, and medical appointments, and it was a number of years before he fully recovered and returned to normal life. In 2005, he published a book about his experience, famously titled I'm Not Crazy, I'm Just a Little Unwell, after the Matchbox 20 song. This year, Lee celebrates 10 years since that book's publication, and he joins me now. G'day, Lee.
Hi, Claire. Lovely to talk.
Thank you. You describe the illness, chronic fatigue syndrome, as a multi-headed beast. What are some of the things that you suffered?
Yeah, I think because I'm a journo, I worked hard on finding a form of words that described what it was like. One of the challenges with chronic fatigue syndrome is that F word, fatigue. Mm. And people think, and they used to say, what's it feel like? Is it just that you're tired? And I said, no, I've just, up until then, I've lived 20 years, 25 years of deadlines and airline schedules and you know, impossible shift work. I knew what it was like to be tired. I said, This is much more than tired. I said, if you imagine that you're suffering a dose of the flu, like not just that I've got a cold or a couple of sniffles, this is the real flu, all the aches and pains. Mm. That's what it feels like every day. Mm. And if you weave into that, for me, wave after wave of blood sugar crashes. It's as if you've had nothing to eat all day and you're at work and then your boss says, I've got to get another 6 hours out of you before I let you eat again. And you're just kind of spiraling. Mm. So I used to say it was like my body, but also my brain was running on empty. That's probably as accurate and simple as I could describe it. There were days, and it might sound melodramatic, though I'm a journalist, I admit that, that there were a handful of days where I lay in bed in such pain and fatigue that I thought this must be what it feels like to die. I didn't think I was dying, and it's not an extreme thing to say. That's just what it felt like. I just thought the way my whole body is racked by this. This must be what it feels like to die. Mm,
wow. And how long were you out of action for?
2.25 years, actually. Mm. Yeah. It took a year for me to get a formal diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome. So we spent the most frustrating year. And I say we because it was me and my wife and my family. Mm. I spent the most frustrating year going through a range of medical tests. More, I think, on reflection, through a process of elimination. Is it this? No. Is it that? No. Is it this? And all the tests would come back normal, which was such a frustration for me because the last thing I felt like was normal. I was feeling like I described. I'd lost my job, a high-profile job with the Seven Network as their, you know, one of their main Sydney reporters. I was their chief Olympic correspondent. I was a sometime newsreader. I lost it all and still had nothing kind of tag it with. Pretty soon, understandably, pretty soon there were clear suspicions and doubts emerging in the minds of friends and colleagues about what was really going on. Have I just lost the plot, or have I copped out or freaked out? Mm. But I was just sick and really sick, and it stayed like that for just over 2 years.
Mm. What was the discovery that led to your recovery? After all the many weird and wonderful treatments you talk about in your book, what was the turning point?
It was a doctor friend in Adelaide whose wife had suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome for about 6 years. And he developed kind of a mini specialty in his GP practice of chronic fatigue syndrome patients. And he read some research that said, you need to go to the metabolic system and look there. Mm. So on the strength of that, he sent her off for some pretty heavy-duty blood sugar and insulin tests. And just for once, she came back with some abnormal results and began eating and grading her activity, not exercise yet, to resemble someone like a diabetic. And she got substantially better, comparatively. Mm. And I heard about this, and I said, I want those tests. So I went through this five-hour test, tested blood glucose and insulin. That was one of the days where when I went home As it emerged, I had a problem with blood sugar and insulin. It was one of those days where I felt this must be what it feels like to die. It was just awful. Mm. But liberation, the results came back, oh, these are abnormal. So I went to a dietitian. She said, I reckon with these kind of levels, I can give you some things to do in how you eat and how you grade your activity, then hopefully exercise. And I reckon we could bring about an increase in your health within a couple of weeks. So I went back 2 weeks later and I said, you know what, you've begun to give me a life.
Wow.
Can't believe the difference. Mm. Now, I hasten to say that was my solution. It's been the key to unlock numbers of people from chronic fatigue syndrome, but it's not the magic bullet for everyone. And there are ways in which today, still 15 plus years after it, I manage my body. My body's in a new state. I know exactly how to manage it. There are ways in which, you know, things changed back in 1998 when I woke up from that 10-minute nap feeling like I was run over by a truck. So I still live with it to a certain extent. No one would ever know, but it's not the magic bullet. It's worked for me. It's worked for others. But I'd never want to kind of indicate that this is the answer for everyone.
What is different then about how you live your life now and your diet, exercise?
Yeah, I work hard exercising. I walk every day. I swim a K of, in the pool as many days as I can a week, 3 or 4 days at least. And I eat like a diabetic. I eat often, even if, you know, one of those eating occasions happens to be an apple, which I had half an hour ago. And I'm just about to have another meal now. And I eat at the lower end of the glycemic index. So the glycemic index is basically a measure of how energy is released in the body. So the range of foods that release energy slowly, and that's what I need, rather than the kind of high sugar, high processed foods, which gives you a spike in your blood sugar and then a crash.
Mm.
And it was that crash that I lived through for most of that time during my illness.
During that time, it was probably really quite depressing to be suffering so badly and people not understanding what was going on for you as well. What got you through that time? What were the things that you held on to?
I can only say, in all honesty, that it was my faith. And, you know, I'm careful about explaining it because, you know, not everyone has a Christian faith or a specific spiritual faith, but for me, it's my story. It was my Christian faith and a confidence that God is real, God is true, God is involved in our lives, and there is a bigger picture that he runs for our good, no matter how bad things get. I've always said I've regarded the way I coped and was able to cope as a gift of faith. It's not a universal story. It's not so easy and cute and simple to say, okay, I have faith, so I'll go into the wilderness of chronic illness and everything will be fine. You know, for some people, they, you know, hit a real crisis of faith, a real crisis in their life, and they become terribly depressed. And there were things to be depressed about, but I was not depressed. There was a very, very consistent suspicion in the minds of many people that I was depressed.
Mm.
And yet every time I'd go to my GP and my specialist, and they'd ask me questions about how my spirit was, you know, how I was coping and what I was doing with my limited capacity of activity. And they'd say, no, you're not depressed.
Mm.
And I regard that as a gift that's not, again, a universal thing.
Mm.
But I never lost a sense, and I think it's a gift of faith because it's got nothing to do with me. I never lost a sense that there was a bigger picture being played out. And now I can look back with the benefit of hindsight. You never know where this is going to head. You know, it may have been that I was still in the wilderness to this day.
Mm.
But I think, yeah, all the way through there's been a bigger picture, and many subsequent events have all the more confirmed that to me.
Mm. You published the book in 2005. What was the reaction like when you first put your story out there in the public? You were high profile and suddenly you were telling the world about what you'd been through.
Yeah, I actually remember the feeling on the morning that I was lined up for all these media interviews, feeling really scared about it.
Mm.
I wrote it with a very, very simple intent of putting a story out there for the benefit of those without a voice in the chronic fatigue syndrome suffering community. There are about 150,000 of them in Australia, and I emphasise their families. But it was very unusual for me to be on the other side of the microphone, as I am with you. And I was utterly, utterly astounded at the response. So I said to the publisher about a week after it was launched, I said, have you got any figures yet? And he said, oh, no, we won't have those for a couple of months. And I heard from him the next week, and he said, we have to reprint. The first edition sold out within 2 weeks. And I thought, that's surprising. And then the second edition sold out after a month. And the third edition sold out after 3 months. Mm. And I was getting scores, hundreds of emails. I was utterly amazed at how many people connected with the story in the context of chronic fatigue syndrome, but also, surprisingly to me, in the context of many other very, very different life upheavals. People were really able to connect with that.
Mm.
And in the end, it's still selling 10 years later, and it, to my utter amazement, has become a bestseller. If you'd said to me 10 years ago plus, oh, you'll become a best-selling author. I've now authored, thanks to good old Open House, two other books. But if you'd said to me 10 years ago you'd been an author with three books, I would have just laughed in your face. And that gets back to the bigger picture. It's just one small example of the bigger picture that I'm absolutely certain that was underway. And many people have written to me, and this is no exaggeration, there have been many people who've responded to the book and said, this has literally been a lifesaver for me.
Wow.
I used to get a bit emotional thinking that and talking about it.
Mm.
But it's been an amazing example of how God does paint a bigger picture.
Mm. And you still
no matter how tough it gets.
Yeah. And you're still getting that sort of feedback now 10 years later?
Oh, yes. Mm. It never goes away, actually. Mm. And I'm glad, I'm honoured and I'm humbled to be whatever voice I can be for the people who don't have the voice and don't have the physical capacity to get out there with their own story. I mean, I've been there. I know what it's like. I always used to think, maybe I'll do a documentary on this one day, and maybe one of those days where I feel like I'm dying, I'll just put my video camera next to my bed and talk to it. And I did it a couple of times. I thought, I can't do it.
Mm.
So to be able to in a very small way, just explain my story, it's been an amazing privilege and very humbling.
Mm. And just lastly, Lee, what are you doing with yourself now?
Yeah, Claire, I've crossed to the other side of journalism after 40-plus years. And after my three intoxicating years with Open House, I've switched sides to public affairs. I work in public affairs for the wonderful Hammond Care organisation. And I'm only working a few days a week, and I've kind of gone into semi-retirement.
Nice.
Because I'm working in perhaps the biggest job and continuing to work in perhaps the biggest job that God's ever given me, and that is to be a relevant husband, father, and now grandfather to my wonderful family.
How wonderful. Yeah, that's great. Well, Lee Hatcher, thank you very much for your time. And Lee's book, I'm Not Crazy, I'm Just a Little Unwell, is still available, and you can find out all about it and connect with Lee through his website, notcrazy.net. Lee, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Claire. Great to talk.